I want to apologize to all of those in Facebook land that you weren't able to hear at the first because I was out of my routine and obviously didn't do things like I was supposed to. So I apologize to you for that, and I hope you can hear now. Well, I'm sure all of you know Charlie Brown, who Charlie Brown is. In A Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown was having trouble getting into the Christmas spirit. So his friend Linus said, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." Unfortunately, some Christians seem to have the same problem as Charlie Brown when we should be lifting up our Savior and Lord. Christmas is a wonderful season. Let's talk about how to have joy of God through this Christmas season and all year long. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever." Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Joy is not just an emotion or the equivalent of being happy. The joy we're talking about is more than just an emotion. The first Sunday of Advent, we focused on hope. And last Sunday, we focused on peace. Today, we're going to talk about the joy that comes from the hope and the peace that only God can give. This joy is grounded in God Himself and flows from Him. Joy is a delight in life that runs deeper than pain or pleasure. From a biblical perspective, it is not limited by or tied to external circumstances. This joy is a gift of God, and like all His other inner gifts, it can be experienced even in the midst of extremely difficult circumstances. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, joy is presented as a consistent mark of believers. It is a quality of life and not simply a fleeting emotion. This joy is grounded in God Himself and flows from Him. Joy is not an isolated or occasional consequence of faith, but rather an integral part of our relationship to God. The fullness of joy comes when there is a deep sense of the presence of God in our life. From that awareness flows the strong desire to share what we are experiencing with others. The Old Testament describes joy as both the experience and the expression of joy that was associated with acts from God, with God's law, and with God's word. This joy was celebrated at festivals with singing, shouting, clapping of hands, and dancing. The New Testament connects joy with God's salvation. What God gave to us through His redemptive grace is cause for great rejoicing. Jesus made it clear that joy is connected to love and to obedience. Paul identifies joy as a vital part of the fruit of the Spirit. This joy is grounded in God Himself and flows from Him. There can be joy in suffering as having a redemptive purpose. There can be joy in weakness as we realize total dependency on God. From a psychological perspective, we cannot experience joy while being preoccupied with our own security, our own pleasure, or our own self-interest. If I am doing things just for myself, I will not realize this joy. Freedom from inhibitions comes when we are caught up in something great enough to give meaning and purpose to life and to every relationship. God alone is the only adequate center for human existence, And he alone can enable us to experience life with joyous spontaneity and to relate to others with love. I want to tell you a little story about John Wesley. John Wesley was one of the founders of Methodism. When he was about 21 years old, he went to Oxford University. He came from a Christian home, and he was gifted with a keen mind and good looks. Yet, in those days, he was a bit snobbish and sarcastic. One night, however, something happened that set in motion a change in young Wesley's heart. While speaking with a servant, he discovered that the poor fellow had only one coat and lived in such poor conditions that he didn't even have a bed. Yet, the servant was unusually happy. He was filled with gratitude to God. Wesley, being immature and sarcastic, thoughtlessly joked about the man's misfortune, and he said, "And what else do you thank God for?" he said with a touch of sarcasm. The servant smiled and in the spirit of meekness replied with joy, "I thank him that he has given me a life, a heart to love him, and above all, a constant desire to serve him." Deeply moved, Wesley recognized that this man knew the meaning of true thankfulness and true joy. We can have the joy of God this servant had, who didn't have a coat or a bed. You can have the deep hope, peace, and joy from God if you want it. This joy is grounded in God Himself and flows directly from Him. Would you join me in watching one video? Are you catching that the theme for today is joy? The joy that only God can give. We can have this joy because God sent His Son Jesus to give us hope, peace, and joy because He never changes and He never fails. This joy is grounded in God Himself and flows from Him. As you know, Pastor Fred, my husband, has been unable to participate in our services for a month. Our trip to the doctor revealed he had a significant loss of blood, which resulted in his loss of energy. Scans showed what the doctor believed were ulcers in two different parts of his body. We now know that what was thought to be ulcers are actually cancers, and CT scans show they are spread to multiple parts of his body. The oncologist began the conversation by saying, "This is something I cannot cure. However, treatments of immunotherapy begin this Friday." We're not happy that Fred has stage 4 metastatic melanoma, but because we are unhappy about his prognosis does not rob us of the joy in our lives that comes from our assurance of God's presence and the assurance that we remain in God's hands. We also have joy because we have assurance that God will sustain and care for this church family we have come to love so deeply. Even though Fred will not be able to continue as pastor of New Hope, we know that God's hand remains on you, and He will certainly guide this loving church family into wonderful days of serving His kingdom. We must never allow circumstances to take away the joy that is rightfully ours as God's children. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for all that you've given us, the blessings that you've given us, your Son. And Father, we even thank you for the trials that we go through. We don't understand them, but we know and we have assurance that you'll be there with us. And because of that, we continue to have the hope, the peace, and the joy that only you can give. The promise of joy lies at the foundation of our faith when we celebrate the sacrament. As we rehearse Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we join with the disciples, reclining with Jesus as he instructed them in receiving the elements. When Jesus said, "This bread is my body, and this cup is my blood," He spoke of the horrific crucifixion. But in taking the disciples through this terrible journey of death, Jesus laid the foundation of the endless joy of salvation provided by that death. So let us rehearse that sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. So we take the bread, symbolic of his body, and we eat all of it. And we take the cup, symbolic of his blood, shed for the salvation of the world, and we drink all of it. It is at Jesus' command that we do this in remembrance of him every time we gather in his name. So, Father, let us go from this place, allowing us to reflect upon the joy of the Advent season. Let us serve you with joy all of our lives and live in the hope and peace that only you give. Amen. Before we dismiss, I just want to let you know that Pastor is planning on being here on Christmas Eve to deliver the Christmas Eve message. He's planning it, hoping it, and planning for it. So please pray for that, and I'll be back with you next week. Thank you.